produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
My purpose is to praise you. My longing is to worship you. My life desires to live for you. Worship you for the mighty things you do. I worship you, 'cause in spite of all my misery and all the things I cannot see, I know I can call out. My purpose is to praise you. My longing is to worship you. My life desires to live for. Praise your name, 'cause the victory is mine. I praise your name, 'cause the light in me can finally shine. Your blessings will be always mine. That's why I live, Lord. For always and forever, my purpose is to praise you. My longing is to worship you. My life desires to live for you.
Greetings and blessings on this Lord's Day. This is Josie Hopkins of Josie's Inspiration Radio Network, and Journey of a Spirit Inspired is the series that I'm recording for this period in my Radio Show. Journey of a Spirit Inspired is all about what inspires me. How is God inspiring and using me and my life? And today, as I look back at the past 7-8 months going through chemotherapy and cancer diagnosis and, you know, anxiously awaiting the end of the 6-month regimen of my cancer treatments, only to come to the end of 6 months and realize that it's not over. Chemo is for life. And I say chemo is for life because I know that I have maintenance series chemotherapy that I'm undergoing now. So every 2 months, I go for chemotherapy. And I initially thought, oh, that's cool, maintenance chemo, I can do that. But my first maintenance chemo last week reminded me that chemotherapy is chemotherapy. And just like an earthquake is an earthquake, a tremor, an aftershock is still an earthquake. And maintenance chemotherapy is still chemo. And while I was in that moment of having my pity party, I had a conversation with Adrian, my son, and I was talking about the doctor probably won't tell me that chemo maintenance will go on beyond the 2 years because he knows that I might whine and complain and not want to do it as I did with my third diagnosis. And he reminded me that chemo is for life, Mom. And it's because of chemo that I'm still living. But even beyond the chemotherapy, it is by God's grace that I am still here. And so this morning, as I looked for a guide from God for this message, I was led to my daily reading from what's called First Five. And it's a daily message that comes, First Five. And the message says, God leads us to places of complete dependence in order to reveal his mercy, grace, and love. Wow. God leads us to places of complete dependence in order to reveal his mercy, grace, and love. And I'm at that place, you know, whether we want to acknowledge it or not. We're always at that place of complete dependence on him. We may think we have power and we've got ability and that we can do all these things, but it's by God's grace, by his mercy and his love that we can do anything. So God leads us. And as is kind of normal for me, when I start thinking about my message, there's usually a hymn that comes to mind. And the hymn that came to mind is, I am weak and I need thy strength and power to help me over my weakest hour. Lead me through the darkness thy face to see. Lead me, O Lord, lead me. Lead me, guide me along the way. For if you lead me, I cannot stray. Lord, let me walk each day with thee. Lead me, O Lord, lead me. And that's another of the hymns that I fondly remember from church and singing with my mom and my aunt and my dad and family members, you know, understanding that God's guidance was important in my life. Even as a child, I knew there was his presence. I knew his presence. I knew the difference of his presence in my life. And when as a child I might want to do something wrong, I always felt, uh-oh, God won't be pleased with this. And so I would curtail my behavior or think twice before I took action. So God leads us to places of complete dependence in order to reveal his mercy, his grace, and love. And so going through cancer 4 times, having had all of these diagnoses, you know, I know that he's taken me through places of absolute complete dependence. because this journey, these past pretty much 8 months, 7 months, even now, I'm completely dependent on him. Because when I think that, oh, I can do this, oh, maintain this chemo, it's going to be a breeze. I just go in and I'll get it and I'll come home and life will go on as normal because I'm done with the real deal. But I'm not done with the real deal because the real deal is my life, and my life is dependent on God to reveal his mercy, his grace, and his love. And I started thinking about mercy, grace, and love. And, you know, what is it? What is it about mercy and grace and love? You know, we generally think of them together. You know, God's grace, his mercy, his love. And I wanted to kind of, you know, just think about it from different perspectives. And so I looked them up. You know, I looked them up from the dictionary standpoint and from the biblical standpoint and from the standpoint of my life. So mercy, as defined in the dictionary, is compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish or harm. Compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone who it is within one's power to punish or harm. And so that got me to thinking about what's going on in the world around us right now and how there doesn't seem to be mercy, but there seems to be a lot of power to punish. And I think about how crime and how justice does not seem to be served in the cases of minorities. And so, you know, there may be that thought on the part of law enforcement and others that, you know, that they have the power to punish or harm. And so they do. But they have the right to give mercy to people because of their power. But you know, that's not how God sees mercy. He doesn't see it as pity or punishment. Sometimes we perceive ourselves as deserving of punishment because of our behaviors. You know, as a child, I was always mindful of actions that I took, because even as a child, I knew God's presence in my life, and I knew that there were things that I shouldn't do because maybe God would not be pleased at me. Certainly, I knew my parents wouldn't be pleased, and so they may have been the first point of my judgment or that ability for me to understand what punishment might mean for me if I did certain things. But God's mercy is about leniency. It's about his grace over our life. It's about the undeservedness that we have. And the scripture says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Not mercy as the world would define mercy, but God in his graciousness towards us. Which then leads me to grace, because we always say grace and mercy together, or I tend to think of them together, but their grace, what is grace and how is grace defined? So grace in the dictionary is about a stature, to do honor or credit towards someone or something by one's presence. You know, people say, oh, grace me with your presence. But in the New Testament, grace is translated meaning divine favor. And so God has favor over us that gives us joy. It gives joy because his free gift of grace. Grace is that undeserved gift of God. He grants grace and favor over our lives, not because we deserve it, but because he's God. That's the greatest gift that he gives us, his grace, that he gave us his son, Jesus Christ, by grace. And it is understood by me as a Christian and by most Christians that that spontaneity, that spontaneous gift that God gives to his people is a generous gift. It's free and totally unexpected and undeserved. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that one can boast. And so God's grace and favor over our lives is not so that we can go around with our shoulders and our chest stuck out that we deserve something, but we are humble by the fact that God's love for us is so great that he grants us grace and mercy in our lives. And so love, the love that we have from God, it's not a love of the world, which is the world thinks of love and affection for one another, relative love, or love because you've done for me, or that kind of phila love, or the love of a friend or a bond, or the eros, or the love of romance, or physical love. But God's love is unconditional. It's an agape love. It's undeserved, and it's sacrificial. He has sacrificed for us by giving us the love that he has through his son Jesus. And so when we think about having grace and mercy and love, we have to be quiet in our inner self, in our inner selves, to recognize that we are undeserving of the love, of the grace, and of the mercy that God gives us. But he gives it anyway, because we are his. And so when I thought back to what my journey has been and what it is that I am experiencing, this dependency on God, I depend on his grace and his mercy and his love. In order to receive those things, I must humble myself and acknowledge that I don't have the power. There is nothing powerful about me that God does not allow me to, that he doesn't allow me to understand, that his love, his grace, and his mercy for me as his child, it's unconditional. It's not because I deserved it. So when I think back to going through cancer and chemo for life, you know, I still have to joke, kind of chuckle at chemo for life. But I'm living, I'm alive, and chemo has given me an opportunity to bear witness to God's grace, his mercy, and his love in my life. It's given me the opportunity to share through Joseph's Inspiration, through Journey of a Spirit Inspired, which, by the way, Josie, J-O-S-I, is Journey of a Spirit Inspired. I'm inspired to tell others, to tell them of this great Lord, this God who shows favor over my life, who has brought me through 4 cancer diagnoses, a brain tumor, and numerous other things that, you know, sometimes I don't even recognize that in the 66 years of my life, that he has brought me through some tremendous trials and journeys just for his purpose, so that I can bear witness to him, to his grace, to his mercy, to his love. So how has God shown his grace, mercy, and love in your life? It's there. You might be thinking about your dependent state at the moment. Maybe you're going through something that you feel that there's no way out, that the world has put a burden on you that you cannot overcome. But there is no burden that God cannot see us through. And so when we feel that hope is lost, when we feel that our journeys are heavy laden with pain and with frustration, we have to ask God to lead us. I go back to that hymn. We have to acknowledge that we're weak. And that hymn says, I am weak and I need thy strength and power. That's the first step. It's acknowledging where we are. You know, sometimes we gloss over it when we don't want to think about our circumstances and situations because it's overwhelming. It weighs heavy on us to think about being sick, having cancer, being in bed, being dependent on someone, needing to have people wash us, dress us, feed us, care for us, and not feeling that we can do the things that we want to do. I acknowledge that I'm 66 years old or 66 years young, I choose to think of it, but I'm still weak and I need God's strength and power. I need it to help me over my weakest hours because there are hours that I'm very weak physically, emotionally, and I'm spiritually weak sometimes because I go into that human place where I'm vulnerable, where I think all is lost because of the circumstances that I'm in. And I have to ask God to lead me through the darkness so that I can see his face, so that I can witness what he's doing in my life and understand that through these trials and challenges that I'm having, all is not lost, that my journey is not done, that just as he continued to use Moses at 80 years old, he's still using me at 66. And I think about how Moses did not understand initially how he was going to be used at his age, how God would intervene through him. And sometimes that's the place that we are at, that we doubt our usefulness and we doubt our purpose. But God has a greater purpose for us. The song that you heard at the beginning of this broadcast, my purpose is to praise you. And that is it. My purpose is to praise God through whatever experience I'm having, through whatever journey I'm going through, to lift him up and to praise his holy name, Lord Jesus, and to know that it's not by my might, not by my efforts, that I'm able to withstand the challenges of my life. But by God's grace, I'm able to. By his mercy, I'm able to. By his love, his unconditional love, undeservedly. I don't deserve, I didn't earn it by something that I did. God is love. He is love. And so the fact that he is love, grace and mercy are just what it is. They're fact. His grace, his mercy, his love, his enduring presence in our lives. We must continually seek it. We must continually welcome it. We must continually open ourselves up to life's challenges, not afraid, not as those in the world who have no hope, but as those who know that through whatever challenges are presented in our lives, God's grace, his love, and his mercy will see us through. Lead me, guide me along the way, for if you lead me, I cannot stray. Lord, let me walk each day with thee. Lead me, O Lord, lead me. These are words that I'm going to take with me today. Throughout whatever I do, I'm going to always ask him to lead me and guide me. I'm going to ask him to move me out of the way, move my feeble thoughts, my lacking in faith, because sometimes I lack the faith that I can do the things that he's called me to do. I lack that faith sometimes in my life, but often, more often, I lack it in my business. And as an independent business person, I have to have faith that God has favor over my life and even over my business. So whatever you're feeling that you're lacking in, don't despair. God's got a plan. His plan is to bless you and to keep you from harm. His plan is to give you the desires of your heart. His plan is not to punish you for behaviors as the world would punish you, but to show you the error of your ways so that you can follow him and you can allow him to lead you. God leads us to places of complete dependence in order to reveal his mercy His grace and His love. Be blessed and let God lead you. Amen.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Program is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Good morning, and I thank you for joining me on Rev. Lydia Speaks on the Josie's Inspiration Network and the Finding My Way Network. I'd like to share something with you. It's a question that I've had posed to me on many occasions. It's usually when someone is in a terrible position or in pain or grief, or in this case, after being confined during this crazy time of the pandemic, after not being able to see or touch or be with the ones who mean the most. And that question is, why should I trust God? For those who don't believe or even know God, that seems a valid question. But coming from a believer, that begs a whole other set of questions. Like, have you ever had your back up against a wall and from out of nowhere you got your answer? Or have you forgotten the times that you were sick and in pain and just all of a sudden it was gone? Or even lost a loved one and you can't make sense of why, only to have a peace that you can't explain to fall over you? And the most important question, do you know what God has done on your behalf? And let me just offer you six reasons, other than the most obvious one of him taking on human form in the form of his son Jesus and then sacrificing his life, as if that in and of itself wasn't enough reason to shout. Let me give you my six. And the first one is that the creator of everything knows your name. Now, in Isaiah 43:1, he says, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and redeemed thee, O Israel, fear not. I have called you by your name. You are mine. A name is a very important thing. In fact, in some cultures, they pick the names of saints or important people for their children, hoping that that child will somehow glean some of the attributes of that person. Just think, just like your surname denotes what clan you belong to, the creator of all things has given you a name that signifies you are part of his family. And when you speak, he listens, because you're an important part of that family. And he knows and he loves you. Just like a father or mother knows his or her baby's cry in a room full of other babies, you're that special that your individual needs stand out to the God of all, and he's there to help you. And then know that he will fight for you. Exodus 14:14, it says, the Lord will fight for you and you will hold your peace. Now that seems a little strange, because after all, we're supposed to do our part too, right? But sometimes the best thing that can be said in response to something is nothing. At least nothing out of your mouth, from your mind. The harder the battle or the circumstance, the more that battle does not belong to you. I've seen children get into arguments with a playmate, like on the playground, and they're throwing words around and maybe even shoving. But when the real fighting starts and licks are being passed, they run to a parent or to the nearest adult. Now, how wonderful is it that we are important enough to God that he wants us to run to him with our problems? And next is, you're always in his thoughts. Psalms 139:17 says, how precious also are your thoughts unto me. How great the sum of them, O God. That means exactly what it says. That means that all day, every day, God is thinking about you. How to help you to draw closer to him in a relationship. That's all he wants. For everything he does for us, for everything he has shown and given us and given up for us, all he wants is to be in relationship with his creation. And all we need to do is open our hearts and let him in. You know how good it feels to know that someone thought about you for whatever reason, and to know that you cross their mind, just maybe even get a random call or a text or a card. Now, when God thinks on you, it comes with a random blessing, a blessing that you didn't expect or pray for. It just seems like the windows of heaven opened up and just goodness fell out all over your head. And that's God's way of saying, hi, I just thought about you. I thought you might like this. He has plans just for you, says Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to bring you to an expected end. An expected end from the things of God. When you align your mind with the large mind of the divine and do His will. The only thing we can expect is that the all good of God is going to prevail. It has to. So how do we do that? How do we align with God? By studying His word, by meditating on it, by following its guidance. And yes, we may step off of that path at times, probably more times than we would like to. But God is also a God of forgiveness and second chances and thirds and fourths. God is your refuge. In Psalm 62, 6 through 8, it says, He is my rock, my salvation, and I shall not be moved. Trust in God at all times. Pour out your hearts. At all times, He is your refuge and your rock. Now, let's put this into a perspective that most people can understand. Have you ever had a snowball fight with friends? I mean, the really serious ones demand the construction of a fort. And that's just a wall of snow, but it's built to protect you from the bombarding snowballs of the enemies. And that wall became your home, your safe place. And it was just an unknown fact that when you ran behind that wall, nothing could hurt you. Now, how much more protection do you need than that the Creator of all things is telling you to run behind Him? That He is your wall of protection, the armor you need for whatever comes your way. And you may say, well, then how did such and such happen to me? If God was paying so much attention and loves me so much, as you say. Think about this. There may have been a lesson that you needed to learn within that trial and the amount of time that it took for you to get out of that trial is the amount of time it took you to glean the importance and the lesson from it. And then there's another thing. That lesson or that trial, although it happened to you, it was not for you. But it was for the edification of God once people saw you come out of it. It could be for someone near you to understand that, yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you fear no evil and you come out on the other side. And most important of all, Matthew 28:20 says He will never leave you. It says, lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. And that is just what it means. You know that fort I mentioned? That's going to eventually melt. The adult that the kid ran to, someone that you look to for support, may not be there someday. People may even forget about you at your time of need and even have trouble remembering your name. But God has all the time in the world for you, for your every need. He knows what you need before you know you need it. He will always provide. And even if it seems like He's saying no, could be He said no to what you wanted and thought was the end all and be all, because He has something better in store for you. So those are my favorite six answers to the question of why trust God. You need to know this. If you're putting your trust in your bank account, your friends, your family, or even saying to yourself that all I need is myself, I don't need anybody else, people fail you. Yeah, well, all of that will fail you. Yes, you fail yourself daily. But God never will. In fact, that is the one and only thing that God cannot do. He cannot fail. Now, I know that there are people who've caught absolute hell during this time of seeming chaos. They've lost jobs. They've lost homes, friends, family members due to illness. And it even seems that people are losing their minds. There are mass shootings, political unrest, racism, and hatred of all kinds. And Reverend Lydia, you're sitting here telling us to relax because God sees this all. So is he just watching a movie? Is he enjoying this conflict? When is he going to put a stop to it all? That's a good question. And the answer to which, I don't know. But what I do know for sure is that all of this, every bit of it, existed during Jesus' time. There's nothing new under the sun, and that's sun, S-U-N, or S-O-N. There is now, and it was then, something for man to learn from all of this. And the more of us there are who can understand this and use our voices to stop the voices of ignorance and hatred that seem to be so loud and so foreboding, the quicker we can dispel the lie that one being is better than another, or more right or more deserving. The faster we learn this lesson that we are all one, the faster this world will heal, and the faster God's kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven. And the faster we will be able to understand what Jesus meant when he said the kingdom of heaven is at hand, because truly it is here inside of each of us. And all we have to do is tap into it and be willing to release its love to others, those others who seem not to be able to do it for themselves, who seem to just follow the lead of anything and everything and anyone and everyone who can talk louder, talk faster, have bigger words, and maybe even a little clout in their communities or in the world. They follow these people because they still believe that greater and lesser syndrome. That's how people controlled other countries, other cultures, other civilizations, is to make them feel less than themselves. The first thing they did with the slaves is take away their name. They took away their religion. They took away everything and reinserted that which served them. So I'm telling you, this same thing on a different scale is happening all over the world today, and we have to put a stop to it. And yes, we are our brother's keeper and our sister's keeper. We are the keepers of the world. When God created this world, he put Adam in charge of the garden. And then he gave him a helpmate. And as soon as Eve's mind was infiltrated by that of Satan, we know what happened. Now, we have been giving poor Eve, at least we women have, we've been giving Eve the devil ever since we learned that. I myself have even said, when I get to where I'm going, I got to have a conversation with her, because everything that is happening to me, I believed was happening through Eve. We had to bear children in pain. We had to work harder than normal when we had everything given to us. But that's still the thing. So where's Eve in all of this now? What we have to know is that God has created a place for us. And even in that time of Eve being compromised, God decided that he was going to put a force field between man and the snake by making it so that we humans would bruise the head of the snake, which translates into the fact that evil will not win. We are God's creations, and we have that light and that fire and that love and that holiness within us. I don't care how deep down you have to go to find it. There is a spark. And what we can do is to light that spark. I've heard it said that you can talk to the king or the fool in a man. and whichever one you nurture is the one that will succeed. Instead of speaking down to each other, instead of going into our personal pity parties, let's find a way to speak to the king and the queen inside of each of us. Let's find a way to let each other know that, yes, you have somewhere to go. You can come to me. And if I don't have the answers, we'll find them out together. Let's go to God together, like kids that need explanation from their parents. I watch my grandchildren, and when one runs to the mother to get there first to tell his side, the other one runs right behind to tell his side also, hoping, each one, that their side would be the best. But mother knows her children, and mother knows that both are at fault, and mother also knows that there is good in both. God knows his children, and he knows where to position us. He knows where to put each of us, and each one of us have blessings. Not all of us have the same blessings and gifts, but we each have something, and put together, all of those things work out for those who love the Lord. You've heard it say, someone plants and someone waters, and then the growth is seen by all. That's really important to know. Because if we can water for good instead of for evil, if we can plant good seed into good ground and create that good ground by keeping it churned and keeping it fertilized with the word of God, then yes, we are our brother's keeper. And we can't do anything any better than that. My brothers and sisters, it is ours to do. We are here to thrive, not just survive in the world until God comes to take those of us that we think are good enough to go with him. We are supposed to thrive, and you can't thrive alone. It takes more than one person to lift a plank that's heavy. We have to work together. And this plank of hatred, this beam of despair and sickness and gloom that has fallen on us, we need to help remove. And it is my thoughts that as long as we work together, as long as we can listen to the word of God, as long as we can read the word of God, or even go to someone who has it supplanted in their hearts and don't even have to read it, it's there and they know it's there. These are the people that we should be around. Pick your fertile ground. Plant your seed. Water it daily. And I do mean daily. Make sure that you get your understanding, and the wisdom will come with understanding. And as long as we have understanding one for another, there is nothing we can't do as God's people. This is Reverend Lydia. I offer you the blessing of love. I offer you the blessing of being able to worship. And I say to you, relax, release all your cares to God, and I will see you again soon.
Not scared to say, I used to be the one preaching it to you that you could overcome. I still believe it, but it ain't easy.
produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.